Good to see each one of you here today. Those who are visiting with us, we're delighted that you've come. We hope you have received a warm welcome from those of us who work and worship here, and that you'll come back every opportunity that you have and be with us. But today, we're glad you're here. Two or three weeks ago on Wednesday night class, I raised the question of what does it mean to take up your cross? And of course, we got a response or two, but I want to expand on that today, and hopefully we can learn something. It's a familiar passage of Scripture, and it's often quoted, and that is Matthew 16, verse 24. Familiar text, they must be studied more closely. Sometimes we reduce them to just mere sentimentality or tragically abuse them or misuse them. The Scripture is often misunderstood, and when you misunderstand the Scripture, then consequently you misapply the Scripture. And so this is ruinous to our lives, and it must be corrected. We must use the verse to save our souls and not to spoil our lives. And so what does it mean to take up your cross, as Jesus said? That's a simple question, and everyone has their own concept. When you ask the question, you get different answers. To compound matters, one does not question his own interpretation. He's saying, that's what I believe, and that's it. But what do you think it means? Are you sure that's what it means? Why are you sure that that's what it means? Do you have any doubts about what you think it means? Can your mind be changed about that? Once you think about it and you chew on it and you know it and live it, all of us must take up our cross. So what does it mean? If we are to take up our cross, we need to understand what it means. Well, negatively, there are some things that it does not mean. And familiar ideas die hard. Our pet ideas become very precious to us, and we reluctantly let them go. My cross is not my particular burden in life. I must accept this saying. And we people have accepted this. And so you've got to accept it. And that is, I have my cross to bear. So they think it's some tragedy or some burden, some sin, some condition, some situation. And they say, I have a heavy burden or a heavy cross to bear. Notice Jesus said cross singular, not plural. We all have unique burdens in life, according to Galatians 6 and verse 2. We are to bear one another's burdens. Sometimes they're heavy. Sometimes they are painful burdens. And so this is not what Jesus was talking about. My cross is not something that I have to put up with, like bifocals, or my neighbor's barking dog, or a long commute to work, or other things. My cross is not two or more. It is one. And so this reduces Christians, which are the victors, to victims. And so we grudgingly or stoically take up our burdens and fears and handicaps. And this takes all the fun out of life. Because Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that more abundantly or more than you can use. And so it takes all the joy out of life. Some add that my cross consists of hurts that are remembered in my mind. I can't get it out of my mind. We'll forgive and forget. You see, don't carry grudges. Kill that hate and malice. Write down all your hurts. Write down all the things. Then sign it, forgetfully, forgivingly, yours. The cross is not a place for those kind of memories, but it is for forgiveness. And so this idea, no matter how terribly wrong, dies hard. Are you running into a brick wall with the answer to this question? The idea that my cross is not self-death. This too is wrong. Denial of self precedes taking up our cross. Self-denial has already happened. And those who have died to self are commanded now, take up your cross. Where deny self, then take up the cross. Do not confuse self-denial and cross-bearing. They go together, but they're different. And so this misconception will also die hard. My cross is not sadistic, negative martyrdom. Some would reduce the cross to stoicism. It's the grim reaper. Grit without joy. One bites the bullet. Just bite the bullet and bear life burdens. Well, too many Christians abound in misery. They wonder why sinners are not as miserable as I am. And so some think that with great misery one enters into the kingdom of God. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. This is more guilt than grace. You don't feel good until you feel bad. This turns the gospel, which is good news, into bad news. And so the cross is a symbol of victorious living, not neurotic martyrdom. Taking up the cross is positive, not negative. Taking up the cross is good, it's not bad. Taking up the cross is joyous and not miserable. So what does it mean for me to take up my cross? Deny self and take up my cross. It is more than self-denial. As you think about the cross represents forgiveness. Boil the cross down to one reality, and it is forgiveness. Motivated by the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross, shed His precious blood, that you and I might receive forgiveness of our sins. I am the forgiveness of God, based upon that sacrificial love of Christ. So God in Christ forgave sinners on Calvary. I'm forgiven. I preach and teach forgiveness to others. I forgive. Jesus taught us to say, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are our debtors. So we have the same attitude toward others that Jesus had on the cross. On the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so, to bear the errors of others, to be mistreated by others, yet love and pray for them. You see, for one to hate someone else as a Christian, they must put down their cross. To hold a grudge, a Christian must put down their cross. To retaliate, a Christian must put down their cross. So I must take up a lifestyle of forgiveness. Because that's what the cross represents. Boil it down. Take the bone out. Trim all the fat. Don't put any sauce on it. It comes down just to forgiveness. God forgave us because Jesus was willing to die sacrificially on the cross. And when we all render obedience to Him, He takes the merits of that blood and applies it to our sin-sick soul because we have a terminal disease called sin, and He puts it in remission. And that is forgiveness. And so we give up our right then to run our life. That's what Paul said. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So Jesus is saying to us, nail it to the cross. Put it on the cross. We cannot just sometimes forgive. Nail your hurts and rejections to the cross. This is positive. This is not negative. You see, Christ forgives us. He forgives me. He forgives you. That is grace. So to take up my cross is to know and accept forgiveness. The grace, the forgiveness, the mercy of God. And so too many of us, I think, refuse to accept forgiveness at times. We don't want to forgive ourselves. We carry our guilt on our back like a 25-pound bag of rocks. A deep-seated pride is some people's problem. They want to play God. We refuse to forgive ourselves as God does. And so forgiveness remembers it no more, sends it away. It takes two to do that. It takes two. And so God forgives when we respond to His obedience and agree with Him that we're sinners and that we need the forgiveness and render obedience. Then he takes that sin when we obey and sends it away. But so many people fear losing control of their lives. And so taking up my cross is the acceptance of forgiveness and to live forgiven. To live a life of joy and happiness and victorious. I am forgiven. You know, to wake up every morning, this is a wonderful thought. To wake up every morning, open your eyes, come to consciousness, and say, today, I am forgiven. I have been forgiven by God. His precious blood of His Son was applied to my soul, and I am forgiven. And I'm going to live today as a forgiven individual all day long. I'm going to forgive others because I have been forgiven. It's awesome. It's an awesome thing that we do. It's awesome calling to be His forgiveness. This is the substance, I believe, of John chapter 21. Peter, do you love me? Will you accept forgiveness? Will you carry it in your life? Will you? Do you accept forgiveness? Simon the Pharisee in Luke chapter 7, he lacked in realization of forgiveness and loved little. You see, the cross is the call to accept forgiveness. But Luke now, in a flash of insight, adds one word to this command. In Luke 9 and verse 23, he says, let him take up his cross daily. Not just on Sunday, but daily. That's 7 days a week. The really important thing is not the great moments of sacrifice or being put out for one or two times and saying, oh, that's okay. But it's a life lived in constant hourly awareness that I am forgiven and the demands of God are upon others through me. And so there are times that we played as children. Maybe they don't play that game anymore called Follow the Leader. And you always have to do what the leader does. It seems ridiculous sometimes, the things that they do, but to really play the game, you've got to follow the leader. And that's exactly what we are. Christ is in control of us. He's our leader, and we do what He does. He's left an example that we should walk in His footsteps, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 through 25. And we need daily fresh forgiveness. And so how can we forgive others unless we accept the forgiveness? In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, John says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so to take up my cross is not only to receive forgiveness, but to extend this forgiveness. As I do this on a daily basis, I'm going to bump into people in the marketplace as I rub elbows with them that are going to need forgiveness from me. And I am to live that life on a daily basis of forgiveness. And so until one accepts grace, he cannot extend mercy. The unsettling fact is that we cannot receive what we will not give. Until one accepts grace, he cannot learn mercy. The cross is our assurance of forgiveness. It's also a challenge to follow and to be like him, to act like him. We are to die daily. All this ministry is motivated by three things. Our calling, our courage to accept the calling, and the comfort it affords us in our calling. So we're to give up criticism. Man, that's hard to do. Give up criticism. Give up judgmentalism. Become mediators of the forgiving grace. Christ calls us to take up the cross, but he gently reminds us that you do not do it alone. The cross is our calling to forgiveness regardless. To take up cross is to forgive you. In Matthew chapter 5, and the verse number is 23, Jesus says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, there you leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. We must be reconciled to an offended brother to be right with God in our worship before we can truly worship. And so fellowship comes first, and then it is worship. This is God's order. To forgive or not forgive, that's the real question today. To forgive or not forgive. Will I accept it? Will I extend it? I must be forgiven. I must forgive. This is the issue of sanity. I must accept forgiveness, not guilt. I must extend forgiveness, not hate. I am forgiven, therefore I can forgive. So daily, I take up my cross. And the wonderful thing about it is I represent the end product of God's forgiveness. If you are a child of God today, you are a product of the end result of all that took place on Calvary. Forgiveness. And so I am now forgiven, and on a daily basis I am to live my life among other people as a forgiven person so that I can extend forgiveness. But I don't just go around just forgiving people just because, you know, I want to. It takes two to forgive. As the passage says, I go to offer my offering, and at the altar, I realize that there's a brother, well, there's something between us. I leave my gift there. I go be reconciled to my brother. We've got to get this thing straightened out. And so maybe today, just by perchance, there's someone that you need to get something straightened out with. Maybe it's been not going on for a long time. Maybe it's just recent. Maybe you need to take time to make that right. Whatever it takes. Extending that forgiveness. Making sure that things are right in the relationship between you and someone else or others. Would you do that today? Maybe there's something between you and God that needs to be straightened out. Now, if it's between you and your wife, no one knows about it, you need to take care of that. If it's between you and your neighbor across the back fence, you need to take care of that. And so forgiveness. It all revolves, I believe, around this forgiveness. Because that's what the cross of Christ represents. This is what I think it means. It is to be forgiven. To be the forgiveness of God. That's what I represent when I go out among people. That's what you represent. You represent forgiveness to other people. But when they see you acting other ways other than a forgiving person, they question your sincerity. They question if you're really genuine. They question that. And they should not do that because that is a mark against the loving God that we serve. And so today, as you sit there and think about it, would there be someone that maybe you need to make things right with? Maybe you need to go and talk, gain your brother. Something that's there that's be easily taken care of. It's fixable. Will you fix it? Will you today? Whatever way you need to respond to God today, whether it's rendering obedience to the gospel, if you have the courage of conviction as a believer and willing to repent of all your sin and confess that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, die to self-rule, self-will, be buried with your Lord by baptism into death, raised to walk in newness of life, he'll give you a new name, Christian, wear that name proudly as he adds you to the church, and you will represent the end product of what took place on the cross, forgiveness. Then you live a life of forgiveness. You are what is represented to the world as forgiveness. Some people say, boy, you should have seen him back then. Man, he has really changed. I've heard people say that. You didn't know him 20 years ago. Man, he is a changed person. That's what the world needs to see in us, see. That we are different. That we do not retaliate. We do not humiliate. We do not ignore. We forgive. So today, maybe that you need the prayers of the congregation. Maybe you need courage. We pray for that. In whatever way you need to respond to him today, we urge you because he invites you to come. Then as I said a number of times, he just waits to see what you'll do. What will you do? Do you need to make a change? What does it mean to you? Take up your cross and follow him. He's the leader. We need to act as he acts. Will you? If so, I'll meet you down front as we stand and sing.